I really want to thank Levi for the opportunity to be able to share one more time from this pulpit. It's an honor. And it is not one that I take lightly. I know I joke during the services and so forth. I try to mix in a little proper humor with joy. But in the end, what we're trying to do is to bring us all, including myself first, closer to God. And I hope that comes through today as we speak. You know, some ways it's real easy for me to believe that I am 74 years old, almost 75, and I've had the opportunity to speak for over 50 years. Now, when I was 25, I never cried. When I was 50, I cried occasionally. And now that I'm almost 75, I blubber my way through a sermon. I think it's because I realize with each passing year, the only thing that really matters, the only thing that really matters is where we stand with Christ and the kingdom of God. And I realize that when we're 20, we're immortal. At least we think we are. And the reality is, when we're 50, 60, 70, or older, we realize that we are not. Until Jesus comes. Until Jesus comes. One of the saddest accounts written in all of Scripture, I believe, is found three times in the Gospels, in Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke 18. Sad, but so important that three out of the four Gospel writers record it. It is the story of a very rich young ruler who had an encounter with Jesus. And for time's sake, we'll only ask you to turn to one of those three accounts. And I'm going to ask you to turn to Mark, Gospel of Mark. We don't have text up there today. You're going to have to actually turn on your phones or reach in the pew for a Bible or bring the Bible you brought. We're going to ask you to turn to Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 17. Again, this account is also found very similar in Matthew 19 and in Luke 18. This is Mark's account of the story. Mark 10, beginning with verse 17. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And the young man said to him, "Teacher, all of these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Luke says he was very rich. This morning I want to talk about priorities, specifically priorities when it comes to the role and place of Jesus and ultimately the kingdom of God, and what priority that places in our lives. For if we believe the kingdom of God is eternal, and we know for a fact that our lives are so short, we know it on this planet anyway that it is so short, the question becomes, if I decide where I shall place my time, where I shall place my efforts, where will I place my focus, where will I place my resources, where will I place my energy, where will my priorities be placed? And I hope to convince you that there's only one really, really good answer to those questions. And that is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The rich young ruler recognized that Jesus held something very special. He recognized that Jesus, in all likelihood, had the key to the door of eternal life when he asked the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Eternal life certainly must have been on his mind. He wondered about it, how he might possess it. He knelt down to worship Jesus. And since he was wealthy, perhaps he thought he could buy his way in to eternal life, into the kingdom of God. You know, exciting as wealth is in life, most people today think they can buy their way into just about anything if I just had enough money. Or maybe we don't try to actually buy our way in with dollars, but perhaps we try to do it some other way. Perhaps instead of buying our way in, we do it by doing good deeds. We'll buy eternal life by doing good deeds. Ask people today why God should grant someone the keys to the kingdom of God. And far too often the response will be, or turn to the subject of, what a good person someone is. Well, I try to be good. I love my family. I work hard. I don't lie, cheat, steal. I'm certainly better than my neighbor or my coworkers. Now there's the one you need to keep your eye on, God. And we think for a moment that we can buy our way in to the kingdom of God by how good we are or the deeds that we do. Nothing could be further from the truth. We say things like, they did this or they did that and they should be into the kingdom of God. They gave this or they gave that. They volunteered here or they volunteered there. Please know. Please understand. If you think your good deeds will buy you a position in the kingdom, you are greatly, greatly mistaken. Your priority is messed up, and you are misdirected. Perhaps the rich young ruler thought by keeping certain commandments, he would inherit eternal life. He said, I've done all these since my youth. Yet, another miscalculation. Jesus knew this man's heart and this man's priorities. So when he said, sell all you have and follow me, he hit him right where it hurt. And sadly, this was too much of an ask of Jesus for this man. He was so close, and yet so far away. Have you ever had things in your life where you were so close you could taste it? You could taste. You could see it. You could feel it. It was so close. I can't give a sermon without one golf analogy. 16th hole. Stadium course. TPC. Scottsdale. Now, for those who know about the 16th hole, that's the par 3 with the stadium, and people go crazy, and they go all googly-eyed when, you know, someone hits a good golf shot, they scream and yell, and if someone hits a bad golf shot, they boo them. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. For those who play golf, you'll get it. Otherwise, just bear with me for a second. I never played it in my life, never played it in my life, not even one time have I ever played that course, but I thought if I ever get to the 16th hole, if I get a hole in one on the 16th hole, I can die a happy man. Not really. 8-iron, John, 137 yards. Popped it. Couldn't see it, but felt good. I've got it on video. I'll show you after church. It literally rolled around the cup. Somehow missed the pin and came this far away from a hole in one. It was so close. Do you know what that means in the spectrum of eternal life? Nada. Nothing. It means nothing. But when this young ruler, who had done basically everything right in his life except for one thing, Jesus says, sell it all, give to the poor, come follow me. And he missed it. He was this close, Pam, and he missed it. In Acts, basically Acts chapters 23 through 26, we'll not take time to read those now. Paul is taken into captivity after preaching at the temple. The Pharisees and the Sanhedrin council, they got really mad at what he was saying in the temple. And so they got the Roman soldiers to arrest him. Paul says, you know, you are arresting a Roman, right? That scared him. They didn't know that. They put him in jail. They went to the governor of Judah at that time, a man by the name of Felix. Felix kept him in jail. While he was with Felix, he tried to preach to Felix. Felix held him in jail for 2 years. And then Felix's term as governor was over, and Festus took over. Now, Felix says to Festus, you ought to hear this guy by the name of Paul. He's amazing. He keeps talking about this Jesus who died and was buried and rose again and is coming again. You got to hear him. So Felix says this to Festus, and Festus had heard this, and he says, you know, King Agrippa is coming to town. I'm going to get Paul to talk to King Agrippa. So we go from the Jews in the temple to the Roman soldiers to Felix to Festus to King Agrippa. Are you with me? That's all 22, 23, 24, and 25. My point is coming up here real quick. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 26. He now has an audience with King Agrippa. And I'm going to start reading in verse 24 of Acts 26. Verse 24 of Acts 26. And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, because Festus was in the audience with King Agrippa and Paul. Festus says, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind. But Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I am speaking true and rational words. For the king knows, King Agrippa knows about these things, and to him I speak boldly. For I am persuaded that none of these things have escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, now he's addressing King Agrippa. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe the prophets. And Agrippa says to Paul, and get this, he says, in a short time, you would persuade me to be a Christian. And Paul said, whether it's a short time, king, or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Do we understand how close King Agrippa was to the kingdom of God? How close Festus was, how close Felix was, how close the Roman soldiers were, how close the Jews in the temple were. And yet they missed it. They missed it by this much. They missed it. Because this time, it wasn't wealth or riches so much as it was power and influence. Power and influence kept them from seeing the kingdom of God. Paul says, I wish King Agrippa, not only you, but everybody who hears me, hears this. The only thing that matters in life is the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming kingdom of God. And because of power and influence or wealth or belief that I can learn my way into the kingdom of God, they missed it. They missed it. I'm saying don't miss it. I'm saying don't let your priority be something that keeps you this far from the kingdom of God. I'm saying the only thing that truly matters in the end is well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not saying don't work. I'm not saying don't obey the commandments. I'm not saying if you're wealthy, don't just throw all your money. I'm saying those can't be the priorities. I'm saying use what God has given you in talents and in education, and use it, what your bank account, and use it for your power, and use it, but use it for the stuff that matters.
This is good stuff. I missed it.
Am I still on? Okay. I don't want you to miss a single syllable.
I guess I can speak like this.
Because I see my life, how oftentimes I messed up my priorities. And none of us are immune to that. But I think the closer we can get in the priorities of the things that count and matter,
the better off our lives will be.
When Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. I think he meant that. I think he meant that. Here's a toughie, Matthew chapter 7. Fasten your seatbelts. You haven't heard anything yet. Matthew chapter 7. You know, I have 4 grandchildren. And I know your grandchildren are cool, and I know your grandchildren are neat, and I know your grandchildren are smart, and I know your grandchildren are pretty, and I know your grandchildren, but they're not as cool as my grandkids. Dana and I have been married, how many years, Dana? I know exactly how many years. 53 years. Lord willing, 54, August 5th. Some guys just get blessed. I have 2 great adult children. Pretty good son-in-law, great-grand-daughter-in-law. I've got 2 brothers who are older than I am that I love dearly. My mom was fantastic. My dad had his issues. I love my Uncle Temple, my Uncle Charlie, my Uncle Lyle, my Uncle Galen. My dad said Myers is spelled one way, M-Y-E-R-S. Anybody else that spells it differently than that, they're wrong. There's only one way to spell Myers. Family means a lot. Family means a great deal. And I know your families mean a great deal to you. And it warms my heart when I see family members sitting together. It really does. So when I say that, I introduce you to Matthew chapter 21. 7. Let's go to 10 first, and then we'll go to 7. Matthew 10. Matthew 10 and verse 37, 8, and 9 of Matthew 10. I'll go back to verse 34. Do not think of how I have come to bring peace to the world. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now we've got to be careful. Jesus was not saying, don't love your family. He wasn't saying that. We know to honor our fathers and mothers. We know we're told to protect and provide for our children. We know that. Then what was Jesus saying? It all gets back to priorities. He is saying that Jesus is first. And here's the beautiful thing. When we place Jesus first, everything else falls into place. But when we prioritize something before Christ and before the kingdom of God, even our own family before that, our priorities are not right. He was not saying, hate your family, don't care for your family, don't worry about it. He was not saying that. But he was saying there's one priority that's even greater than your family, and that's the kingdom of God. And if you'll seek that first, everything else will be added to you. It's the problem is when we put Jesus second, third, if he's not first place, he may as well be last. So, it's not money, it's not power, it's not influence, it's not how smart we are in the scriptures, it's not even family that comes first. The priority is, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Now, in the Matthew in the Matthew 7 text that I was going to have you turn to a moment ago, this time verses 21, 2, and 3. Dear sister Rachel Carr, she often told me that this was one of her least favorite verses in the Bible because it was one of her most scary verses in the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, 21, 2, and 3. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many works in your name? And then he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now, if that doesn't send a shiver down my spine, even preaching Jesus, teaching Jesus, saying, Lord, Lord, if our hearts are not prioritized, do you see it? If our hearts are not prioritized, depart from me, I never knew you. Cast out demons in my name. I never knew you. Preach in my name. I never knew you. There's just something about this thing where God wants to be first. And I think sometimes I get afraid of that. Perhaps you get afraid of that. Or perhaps we misunderstand it to mean that God doesn't care about the rest of our lives. Nothing could be further from the truth. He just knows this, that when we put him first, he knows that everything else will be right. But that's not how the world thinks. That's not how the heart is measured outside of Christ. We are told to look out for number one. And who is number one, according to the world? Ourselves. I'm telling you, look out for God, and you'll be taken care of. I'm telling you that your priority in life can't be your job, can't be your bank account, can't be your title, can't be your friends, can't be your family, can't be your church, can't be all the knowledge you accumulate, can't be any of those things. The only thing it can be is that one thing, which is God on his throne, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the coming kingdom on earth. That's the priority. I wish living life was as easy as preaching the truth. Mark chapter 12, which is what we looked at. Let's go to Mark 12 for just a moment. I promise you I'm almost done. We'll get you out of here by 11:30. Mark chapter 12, starting with verse 28. And one of the scribes came and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important one of all?" And Jesus answered, "The most important is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no greater commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered him wisely, he said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. In other words, love God with everything that you are and everything that you have. Love God. And when we do that, we are not far from the kingdom of God. And what I'm suggesting is that's pretty good advice. Now, what we don't know is what the scribe did with that information. We don't know. But I'm suggesting it's the only way to be close to the kingdom of God. Wisest man that the Bible says ever walked on this planet here is a guy by the name of Solomon, King Solomon. I don't know, with all the wives and concubines, as he was, but nonetheless, the Bible describes him as the wisest man that ever lived. Do you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, this is a great book. I mean, you can read it 12 chapters, you can read it in a half hour. It's a fantastic book. He wrote the book of Proverbs. You can read Proverbs, there's 31 Proverbs. You can read one proverb a day, one chapter a day for a month, and you've got the whole book knocked out. The book of Proverbs, called Wise Sayings, right? He wrote the book of Song of Solomon, which is really an interesting book, even in of itself, but we'll not go there today. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." He gets down to the last chapter, the last verse of chapter 12, the last verse that he says on this book of Ecclesiastes, he says this, the end of the matter is this. When all is said and done, when there's no more to discuss, when we've talked about everything, when I've experienced everything, I've held nothing back in all my life, the end of the matter is this, fear God. Keep his commandments. The man who did not let anything escape him comes to the final conclusion that the only thing that matters, the only thing that counts, the only thing of utmost importance is fear God, keep his commandments. Good advice. Good advice. May we all pause and reflect and ask God to place his kingdom first in our hearts. It is, after all, the only thing that will last forever. We have dear friends and members of this church who are not here today because of Rebecca's being hurt, Dr. Joe Martin. He often paraphrases Malachi chapter 4 and verse 1. I'll just read it. Dr. Joe paraphrases this verse oftentimes. Here's what Malachi chapter 4 verse 1 says. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire. So to repeat Dr. Joe Martin's paraphrase of that verse, he says, it's all going to burn. It's all going to burn. And Dr. Joe, if you're watching this, I salute you because you've known that for years. I'm saying, I'm pleading, I'm asking you to consider in the priorities in your life, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I promise you, everything that is important will come after you. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it's easier to preach a sermon than it is to live one. But I believe it to be true. I believe the only thing that truly matters is our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and the coming kingdom of God. And I pray that as we go out throughout this week and we go back to work and we go back to our families and we go back to our possessions and positions and everything else, that we will keep in mind, that the kingdom of God and the coming of Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection and grace given to us is what we need to live for and thank you for and be prioritizing first in our lives always. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.